I want to introduce you to a very simple little concept tonight that I think can revolutionize your life and is something that I need to continually do. If I'd learnt it enough and if I continued to remember it enough, it would help me incredibly in every endeavor that I go for. Let me start off by telling you a little story about the discovery of flight. And I've flown a lot. But it still amazes me every time I do it. Doesn't it you? You know, you see these huge planes. I mean, when I flew here from Adelaide, you know, I've done that trip in a car so, so many times. And it is painful as, you know, driving this 8-10 hours of just monotonous roads. And, you know, and this time it's less than an hour and you're here on a plane. It still just blows me away. You know, and you're sitting there with 200 other people. The plane was packed coming here. I don't know what was on in Melbourne or why people were leaving Adelaide, but they were. And it was full. The plane was full. And I was just, you sort of sit at the end of the runway and you think, you know, is this going to happen again? You know, like, it just still blows me away. I know the physics of it. I know the law of lift and I know all those things, but could you imagine? When those guys first started to explore the notion of flight. It happened around the start of the 1900s, end of the 1800s. And the American government particularly put a lot of money and effort into getting flight happening. And they firstly financed this guy, and his name was Samuel Langley. He was probably one of the most prominent thinkers of the day. He had as his best friends people like Alexander Graham Bell and Andrew Carnegie. He was at Harvard University. He worked alongside people from the Smithsonian Institute. And they gathered together this think tank of all these huge intellects to work out how to actually get flying going. Because it was a competition that was often written up in the local papers of the day, and people started talking about flight and about the desire to fly. And the government gave Samuel Langley, this character, $50,000 from the War Department to kickstart the whole process. Now, when you think 1900, that's a heck of a lot of money. He was well resourced and he had the greatest minds around him to make it happen. What you see there is what he came up with. And he collapsed his plane. He was going to take off in the middle of the Hudson River. And he took off and he landed about not even 20 metres away as it just fell straight into the river. After all their planning and strategising and thinking, they failed. There were two other guys who've become infamous now, of course, Wilbur and Orville Wright. They had no money. They had no intellectuals around them. They ran a bicycle business. In their little town of Dayton, Ohio, some few hundred miles away from where this guy was, away from all the sort of power center of Harvard and the Smithsonian and all these intellects. And here's these couple of brothers who think, yeah, I reckon we could do this. And they became passionate about it. And they became excited about it. Now, Samuel Langley, understood what they had to do and got the guys together and all these intellects got together and thought about all what they would have to do and how they would go about it. And they failed. But these two brothers started from a different point of view that I want to talk to you about tonight. And of course they, with Kitty Hawk, on the beach, created the first flight and beat the other guys with all their money and all their resources. And did it because they had a different starting point. They didn't start with asking the questions about what do we need to do to fly, or how are we going to do it and what's the mechanics that's involved. They started with a simple question, which was this: why? Why should we do it? And I want to ask you the question tonight about the why of your lives. Because it's the why that is the motivation that will keep you going when everything else doesn't work out. And Samuel Langley and his peers lost their way after the first episode of trying to fly because the guys gave up hope. They went off on their own research projects. The money ran out and they gave up. Whereas Orville and Wilbur, who had no money, continued because they were driven by a passion of why they wanted to do it. All these big knobs and brains that came together with Samuel Langley knew what they wanted to do and knew how they were going to do it. But when all the what and the how didn't work out, the whole idea collapsed because they didn't have in them a why they were doing it. Maybe some were doing it for the money. Maybe some were doing it for the glory. Maybe some were doing it for that sense of governmental approval. And maybe there were strings attached. There was all sorts of things. But Orville and Wilbur were doing it because they were passionate about wanting to fly. And they'd been watching birds. And they thought, if that thing can do that, we can do it too. I've been reading a book couple of years ago now by a guy called Simon Sinek, and it started me thinking about this whole area. And the book was a study of all sorts of successful people in leadership, business world, organizations, churches, all sorts of people that had succeeded. And he found a commonality of issue, and that was that they understood the why. They started with the why. And he drew three simple circles: the what, the how, and the why. I want you to think about your own life and about the things you do, and how often do you start with the what and the how without even having asked the why? Let me talk to you about your youth ministry that you got going here tonight. Why are you doing it? You know what you're doing. You know how you went about it tonight. You put a lot of the effort and energy into it. But why? Now, I'd like to hope and pray that you would know something of the why. When I was a young guy your age, I got involved in a youth ministry that understood something of the why. And we were a passionate bunch of young people. We started off with just a handful. And that youth ministry grew, this is in the early 70s, grew to some 400 or 500 young people in this youth ministry. And it was a very exciting thing to be part of. It became the springboard for me eventually to move to Melbourne, and I became the youth pastor of Chris Colley. But precursor to all that, it started in Adelaide for me, where I grew up, and where I've now since returned, and have been pastoring these last 30 or so years. But we had a passion amongst a bunch of young people, and it was encapsulated in a simple little slogan which said, Adelaide for Jesus. That was the why. And you know, we put that slogan onto bumper stickers and everywhere we could. Adelaide for Jesus. That's all it said, Adelaide for Jesus. It was funny actually, we got these bumper stickers made and they were so strong in their glue you couldn't get them off. You could not get them off. And we approached the bus companies if we could buy space on their bumpers to put these stickers on. And they'd never done that before. And they said, yeah, sure, all right, we will. We put these things on. They couldn't get them off. We had advertising for years. Because these buses just kept going around and around with Adelaide for Jesus on them. But it was the why. What's the why of you? As a church, what's the why of you and your life? So you can get caught up in all the what, doing lots of stuff, and our world is very busy. And when you get down with people, so many times, they're busy as and they've got no time for anything, but you ask them, are they enjoying themselves? And they say, no. They're busy at work, busy in their families, busy doing stuff, doing the what. And they understand how they're doing it and how their time is absorbed, but they don't really know why. So my message to you simply tonight is why? If you remember anything, remember the word why. And ask yourself continually, why? Why? Why am I doing this? You see, conventional thinking, and the majority of people live from the outside in. They get busy doing what and how, and then eventually they hope the why might materialize. You could do that with your youth program here tonight. You can get busy with organizing a program and throwing things into peanut butter and putting up screens and singing songs and doing all the what, and that's how we're going to do the youth program. And you do that week after week or year after year, and in the end you come back to, why are we doing it? And if you haven't got the why sorted out, guess what's going to happen? It'll lose puff after a while because it'll all just become hard work. But if you know the why, it will actually sustain you and invigorate you and empower you, even if you don't see the results straight away. Because like the Wright brothers, you know why you're doing it. And you're pushing yourself through sometimes the pain barrier, sometimes the discouragement barrier, sometimes that which would seem like everybody else would be leaving you behind and you're standing there alone, but you're going on because you know why you're doing it. One of the great inspirations for my life, and I know for Pastor Chris's as well, is Pastor Barry Silverback, who we get to work with in a lot of mission field endeavors. He astounds me at how he just continues to keep going when the odds are stacked against him. And it's because he always starts with why. He's sorted out why he's going into a nation. And even if he doesn't see the money, and even if he doesn't see the people coming together, and even if he doesn't see the program happening overnight, he keeps going because he knows why he's there. And I've seen lots of people go off into different endeavors and enterprises, and they start with great gusto. They know what they're going to do. They know how they're going to do it. But they quit after a while when the fruit's not there like they thought, because they've never sorted out the why. Let me ask a question to you, which is very fundamental. Why are you a Christian? You can be a Christian and be busy doing all the what of being a Christian. You can be all caught up in the how of being a Christian, but why are you a Christian? I was watching your band here tonight, you know, playing away and enthusiastically singing. But why? Why worship? I mean, do we just worship because it feels good and sounds good, and because we get a buzz out of it, and because we can be talented, and because we can stand on stage, and because we can make things happen, or is there something more fundamental that you as worshippers need to answer? And that's, why are you doing it? You know, the song by Matt Redman, wasn't it? I'm going back to the heart of worship because it's all about you. It's all about, and you know, he was trying to get rid of all the other stuff that worship can become, and that church can become, and that anything can become. You can get caught up in the what. And that's the conventional way of looking at life. That's where our world is so much at. It gets caught up in the what. And that's, the devil loves nothing more than to make you busy. And there's a force of darkness that's at work in this world that consumes people with the what and the hows of life, but they never get down to the why. And I'd like to believe that this church exists for that reason, to sort out the why. You see, there's two ways you can live. You can live from the outside in, where you start with the what and the how, and you hope somehow you might find out why. Or you start from the why, and you live from the inside out. And the why determines how you go about it and what you're going to do. Now, when I saw this in this book, it made me think of my pastor that I grew up under, Pastor Leo Harris, who was the founder of our CRC movement. I was a very privileged young man to have actually had him as my pastor. We used to play tennis together, and he was a great guy. And he used to draw something that looked like this a lot. And he talked about our makeup, and he said we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And he used three concentric circles, like I've drawn there. the body, the soul, and the spirit. And as I was reading this book, I thought, that's the problem with so many people. And where does the devil put all the attention? On how we look, on the outside, on the body beautiful, if we can just get all that together. Or maybe it's at the soul level where our will, emotions, and mind are, so that we know how to live and how to think and how to respond. But that's not where real life flows from. Where does it flow from? It flows from the core of your being, from the inside, and from the inside out you're to live, where it comes from a spiritual core where you discover why. And there's so much suicide that's around in our culture today. In fact, the greatest killer now of people between the ages of 20, between the ages of 15 and 40 is actually suicide now in Australia. That's scary. Why? Because of why. Because people don't know why. They don't know, understand what this life is all about. They know how to make themselves busy. They know what they think can bring them their satisfaction and joy. But the more stuff they get, the more things they do, the more they chase after academic excellence or the acceptance of their peers or chase after this thing or that thing, they find that in the what, there's never really the answer to why. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3 it says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." This is an interesting verse because it's actually one of the few verses we have in the New Testament that directly describes us as a tripartite being. Being made up of body, soul, and spirit. But notice that it starts off with what? Spirit. And then soul. And then body. But our world thinks the other way around. It starts off with body, and then it moves towards soul. And then, if you're lucky, you might sometimes discover something about spirit. But you know what the gospel of Jesus Christ came to do? Is to resolve the why. The big why. Why am I here? What is life about? Why do I exist? What is my purpose? And it flows from discovering your spiritual core. Now, the demonic world works from the outside in, and our world pressures continually with manipulation to try and make change happen. But there's a different atmosphere that flows from the why, which is grace. And it's not making things happen. It comes from inspiration rather than manipulation. Where something is just birthed in you that's alive. And it's called the why of God. And you have an understanding that you've been created for him and for his glory. Now, I could try and get the love of my kids, like Luke and Miriam who are sitting here, by what I do for them. And how many families operate on that basis? If I can just give more gifts, or if I could just do more things, if I just do more what's, then somehow I'll earn your love. And that's manipulation at work. That's me trying to buy love. But how different is it when Luke and Miriam volunteer love to me, not because of what I've done for them, but they understand the why, that they're accepted and that they're loved unconditionally by me, and they respond to my love, not to earn it, but because they have it. And the same's true of you and God. You don't have to earn God's love. He doesn't manipulate you to try and make you by what you do, because that's religion. Religion is all about standards and what you must do to somehow get right with God. But Christianity is about why. It's about this incredible experience and explosion of love in your heart where you suddenly know God and you know you want to serve him and to Do what you can for him, not to get right with God, but because you are right with God. Does that make sense to you? You're right with God. He's accepted you. And the great why is because if he has shed his love so broadly to you, you will want to respond to him. This is love. Not that I love God, but that he first loved me. The why of our lives as Christians is expressed in these couple of verses that I've put up here now. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote that, he understood the why. Why was he doing it? Because everything flowed from the inner core of God and who God was to him. And when you have that, when you understand the why of your Christian faith, it suddenly contextualizes everything, and the how and the what just flows automatically out of that profound sense that from him and through him and to him are all things, and to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, why do I do what I do? In anything, I do it for the glory of God. When you do the dishes for your mum, you're doing it to earn her favour? Well, maybe you are, and it helps to get her favour. But you know, could you do the dishes for the glory of God? When I clean up after my son, what should my attitude be? You rotten kid, making me clean up this room. Is that what I say? Well, I do often. Get in here and clean up your room. Because part of my role, of course, is to try and teach him. But, you know, every now and then I remind myself of the real reason. I love him. And I'm going to clean up for him. Just to show him how much I love him. The why is my love for him. Why do you guys practice your music and do all that? Is it so someone will say, wow, you guys are fantastic? Or is it much more profound than that? It's nothing to do with music, actually. It's all to do with your relationship with God. As it is for us as we stand there and listen to them play and we respond in worship. See, Colossians 3:17, the other verse I've got up there says, and whatever you do, what does it say? What's whatever? Whatever. 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 Whatever you do. What? Whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's the why. I want to honor him in everything I do. So when I'm at work, and when you're at work, and your boss is giving you a hard time, or there would be an opportunity for you to just fudge the edges a bit and just use your time for your own purposes, could you get back on track? Now, do you do it because he's standing there over you? Or are you doing it out of fear and intimidation? Or are you doing it out of a motivation that comes from the fact that you're not serving him, but you're actually serving God? See, I was talking to the leaders yesterday about the challenge of reward. You know, in the end, when you guys get to heaven, every one of us is going to be judged, not for what we have done, but for why we have done it. You know, have we done it to honor him and glorify him? Because there'll be lots of people who come there who will have done lots of stuff, but Jesus said they're just like the Pharisees who do all sorts of laws and keep all sorts of rules and regulations, but they forget why they're doing it. They've got so caught up in the what And, you know, for you as a youth group here tonight, if you haven't got a personal, close relationship with God, and if that's not the motivation, the why, then all that you do will eventually become vanity of vanities and a striving after wind. That's what the writer of Ecclesiastes said. When he summed it all up, he said, everything is vanity of vanities and striving after wind, unless you sort out the why. Here's a verse that I want you to just reflect on with me. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, that's the why, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. That's the what. If you keep trying to do that which you have to do and driven by your passions and desires, you will, it says, die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you can in fact live, which is the why. See, the motivation for us in our Christian life is not what we do, but why we do it. Can I encourage you tonight? It's a very simple message, but live by the why of the Spirit. You've got a choice tonight. You can choose to live in the what and the how, which is where most of our world lives, or you can choose to live from the why, which gives meaning to the how and the what. Romans 8:9 says this, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, the what, but by the Spirit, the why, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not, in fact, belong to Christ. Jesus cried out, not my will, but thy will be done. He knew clearly the why of his life. And I want to encourage you tonight to live out of the why, to not live out of the my, but to live out of the why, and to live your life with passion and purpose and power that flows from understanding why you're doing it. You see, we can easily get to a place where we start to measure, for instance, even the life of a church by what we do. Oh, that person hasn't been to youth group for a few weeks. They can't be a very good Christian. As if that's what measure we should use, is attendance. Well, that person didn't show up for the meeting or didn't work hard enough, as if that's the way we should measure the how of life. When really the question is, why didn't they come? And why aren't they involved? And if they haven't got the why sorted out, then you can try to manipulate them and pressure them and make them feel guilty. And we can feel like we have to be at everything and do everything just to gain brownie points with God. And we've lost the whole point of what Jesus came to do. He came to help us resolve the why. And he said, if you have me in you, then from me and through me and to me, all things are. And in me you live and you move and you have your being. And suddenly, instead of things becoming driven, instead of things having to be done by the exertion of one man's will over another, or one woman's power over another person, it becomes something that's spontaneously flowing from the heart. No, that's the sort of church I want to belong to. And that's what Jesus came to bring. He came to resolve the why. Christian living then becomes a releasing, liberating, a quality of life choice. When people look at your life, what do they see? The what and the how of your life? Or do they see the why of your life? Because the thing that will really impress them is not what you do or how you do it, but why. And 1 John 5 and verse 12, it says, "He who has the Son has life, but he who has not the Son has not life." You know, the power of the Holy Spirit has come to bring impact into our world. And he came to live within us. When Jesus was going to disappear off the scene, the disciples thought they were going to lose the what of their world. What are we going to do without you, Jesus? How can you go? How can we manage? And the what and the how became just this quandary for them. And he says, "You don't understand, I'm not going to leave you. I'm actually going to come and I'll be in you. And my Spirit will come inside you and you will know me, guiding and leading you through every decision of your day if you'll just open up to my Spirit that's within you." And that's the invitation before us tonight, to live a life of impact, to live a life of passion and purpose and power. Martin Luther said those famous words, "I have a dream." And he understood something of the why. And I'm asking you tonight, as I bring this weekend to a close with you, do you understand why God sent Jesus? Why Jesus came? It came to resolve the why of life. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 come these great words, "And you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you." And Paul said as a response to that, "Then I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, that you might be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being." Hallelujah. Young people tonight, I'm speaking particularly to you, but to all of us here, have you resolved the why? Ask yourself the question continually as you go through work, as you go through family circumstance, as you go through your studies, as you go through your youth group activities, as you go through whatever you do. Why? Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Because in the end, that's all that will count. And in the end, that's the only thing that will sustain you through to the end. It is not what you do. It's not even how you do it, but it's why. Guys, we need the Holy Spirit. Let's stand to our feet together. Come, Holy Spirit, right now upon this church afresh. If you know you've been caught up in the what and the how, in all the mechanics of living from the outside in, and you've been trying to manipulate circumstances and situations to give you that sense of purpose and meaning, then here's an opportunity tonight to switch the orientation of your thinking, to live from the inside out, to function first from the why, and then because you know why you are loved, you will express service and activity as a motivation that flows from why it will be settled in your heart. Father God, I pray for this church. Lord, I want to see it grow. I want to see it develop and become all that these young people and adults are committing themselves to. But we need to ask ourselves the question continually, why are we doing it? Lord, it's not about us. It's actually about you. The why is we want to give you pleasure. We want to give glory to you. You sent your Son Jesus because you so loved the world that if we would just place our trust and our confidence in you, we would understand why we're here and why we need to live with you at the core of our being. And then, because that's so clearly established in our hearts and lives, the how and the what resolve themselves. Now, Father, I pray for the why of this church. I pray for the why of these young people. I pray for the why of their spirits right now, and that their spirit would come alive to you afresh, and that you would cause something to erupt from within them that will give them a clarity of purpose and meaning that doesn't just last while this fad is here, or whilst that leader is here, or whilst that person is with us, or whilst that program is running. But Lord, they'll do it for the rest of their lives because they're serving you. And it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Father God, just minister your grace through this church. And let it become a church that's known to be functioning from the inside out, from the Spirit. That the spirit of this church would be so in tune with your spirit that in you they live and they move and they have their being. And that from you and through you and to you all things are and exist. That they'll always know the why to their lives in Jesus' name. You know, I don't really feel to pray specifically for anybody here tonight. But what I would love to see is you guys just responding in your own hearts to that cry of God. Because, you know, if you as a church can grab hold of the why, then, you know, it's unlimited what you can achieve. If you feel God's been speaking to you, maybe about the way you approach work, the way you approach the studies, the way you approach relationships, the way you approach playing your guitar, the way you approach youth group, the way you approach this church, then just raise your hand right now as a statement of commitment and say, God, I just want to resolve afresh to function from the Spirit, from the why of my life. Now, Lord, as these hands raise all across this auditorium, I pray for something to bring breakthrough into their lives that would, Lord, cause them to finish well. And let this church just start to become more and more powerful and effective because of the fact that they know why they're doing it. In Jesus' name. Father, as it was true in the secular context of people and creative endeavor, those who knew the why were driven by a passion that saw them finish. How much more should it be for us who've been partakers of this divine nature and who have received, Lord, from you the very Spirit of Christ living within us? That Holy Spirit that would lead and guide us into all truth. Now come, Holy Spirit, and fall afresh upon this church, upon its mandate and purpose in you, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.